Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
And it's been a hot second since the dynamic duo has been together. So welcome back to the show. We are excited to have you.
Yeah. So, thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah. So tell us about what you've been up to.
Well, I have been super busy with not only my prep, getting ready for this show coming up, but also spending some time visiting family. So it's been a whole new world trying to both travel and be on prep and also, you know, get used to the new guidelines with everything that's happening within the country. So it's been quite an adventure, but it's been really good. I haven't missed a beat with getting in, you know, good workouts, good nutrition, and it's been really good to see some family that I haven't seen in a while. So, yeah, I mean, all systems are go. We're still right on track, and it's been quite a learning process, but feeling really good. I'm excited about, you know, the shows coming up this year. There's been a lot of activity lately.
Yeah, so you've been really, really every week you have great progress. You have new low weights. And so can you share with our audience? Yeah, of course. Anything that you've done, I know you've had to get creative with like finding outdoor gyms and trying to get your steps in. And even, I think you were maybe stuck somewhere and you had to kind of figure out with food. So what are some tricks and some tips that you can share with the audience on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, visiting my parents was, that was like, we traveled via car. So that was more of like a road trip type of situation. So it's a little bit easier to pack when you have your own car and you're not flying. But we did run into some issues with car trouble and then a tropical storm that came through. So we didn't have to spend a little bit more time in the Northeast than we had originally planned. And a couple great tips that we actually figured out were there's a chain of hotels called Extended Stay that actually have like a little kitchen and, you know, and of course they have a bedroom and it's almost like a little apartment and they're pretty affordable, but it gave us access to a bunch of cooking utensils and cookware and provided us almost like a little home where we could actually prep our own food. So that was a really nice thing. And they also have like laundry, they're pet friendly. Like there's a lot of accommodations within those hotels that were really easy for us. And yes, making pit stops on road trips to get your steps in or walk around for a half hour. Finding hiking spots and always making sure that I had bands or extra gym equipment just in case there, like when a tropical storm came through, a lot of people lost power. So a lot of gyms were closed in that type of situation. But yeah, those were like a couple things. I mean, road tripping is totally different than flying. Flying, we had to be a little bit more, restrictive of what we could bring with us. But I was still able to fly with all of my food. I prepped and froze everything. I brought a food scale with me. My number one tip is if you're traveling anywhere, just be prepared for anything. I had my suit, my heels, I had my gym equipment, I had food prepped for a couple days. Like I said, food scale. Just in the off chance that things don't work out the way that you plan, you have accessibility to those things. And you know, my fats right now are olive oil, and I was even able to travel with some olive oil just in like a 3-ounce container. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just rambling right now, but there's always a way. There's always a way to make it work. You just sometimes have to be a little bit creative. And I was like super pleased with making sure that everything got done, despite all of our like hiccups on the road.
Yeah, I'm very proud of you. I think that when there is a will, there is a way, 100%.
Yeah.
So today's podcast is going to be all about progesterone. So we've given a couple of different sex hormones their own podcasts. So today, progesterone gets the podcast light.
Yay.
So it is a very, very important hormone. And if you have low progesterone, you could experience mood swings, anxiety, fatigue, low sex drive, sleep disturbances, kind of like for most women, you know, when they have PMS or right before they're going to start their period. And then for others that just have chronic low progesterone, you know, these can be very erratic and last throughout the month, not just that week before the period. So we kind of want to go through what ways that you can help the health of your progesterone and the production. And then we also want to go through the ways that it actually gets depleted and some things to sort of avoid or address. So do you want to start with basically one of the main items that kind of contributes to low progesterone? Or I guess just share your own personal story, because this was kind of you in 2018. So.
Yeah, I was going to say this. This whole podcast, I could probably relate to every single thing. But stress is the number one thing that will affect your progesterone levels. And it is the number one thing that I am always trying to manage, I would say. So your cortisol can actually, and the cortisol in the aspect of chronic, like you're consistently in fight or flight, you're constantly producing cortisol, can actually, it can take away or it can rob your body of the progesterone stores that you need. Is that correct? Is that why I'm saying that correctly?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, long story short, being in a high stress environment or always being in that fight or flight will take away from your sex hormone of progesterone that you would need for just like everyday balance. So yeah, I was talking to Amy earlier and I was saying that this prep this time around, I feel like the majority of my focus is on managing like my sleep, making sure I'm getting plenty of sleep, because my day is so much more manageable when I'm getting adequate rest, on recovery. So like making sure that my body is getting that recovery time as well, and just checking in with how I'm feeling. Like if I'm feeling overstimulated, making sure that I'm taking time for quiet or I'm taking time away from those things that I feel are just like making me feel like I'm overreaching. And that has actually made my prep so much more enjoyable and actually I think way more smooth sailing. And I mean, I think that it showed in a lot of my recent progress. So yeah, I think and obviously it helps with your hormone production. So yeah, stress number one.
So an obvious indicator, and this is where it becomes, you know, one of those things, a signal from your body. Chris had been in like a stressful time in 2018 and she stopped having her menstrual cycle, but now she's continuing to have that. And so just to kind of rewind here just a little bit. So progesterone, it prepares the uterus for pregnancy. So it helps with like your libido, and the drop in progesterone and estrogen basically triggers your menstrual cycle so that you shed your uterine lining. So that's, progesterone helps with fertility and making it possible for the fertilized egg to obviously implant. So when you have low progesterone, that's one of the contributors as to why we think that, you know, Chris lost her menstrual cycle. And so some other things that can contribute to low progesterone is hypothyroidism. So the thyroid hormone definitely regulates pregnenolone. And so that if you don't have adequate thyroid hormone, you're not going to have the ability to create the proper amount of progesterone needed. And then there's another type of situation. If a female has PCOS, so polycystic ovarian, am I saying that right? Polycystic ovarian cysts. Yes. Okay. PCOS, better known as that. So you're going to have high testosterone in that case, and it's going to be difficult to get adequate progesterone in order to ovulate. So the body has a hard time shedding the uterine lining, and also a lot of people with PCOS have a lot of trouble with fertility and getting pregnant because of this imbalance of the hormones. What are some other reasons, Chris?
Yeah. So after age 35, it's just natural for your body to have a decrease in progesterone. So your age will play a role as well too. And another hormone is elevated prolactin. So we know prolactin helps women during pregnancy with lactation, but it's also a hormone that can reside in your body when you are not pregnant. And higher levels of this will interfere with progesterone production and also inhibits your ovulation. So high prolactin sometimes can be a result of a poor diet, again, a stressful lifestyle where your cortisol is blocking progesterone receptors. So again, like all these different hormones can affect your progesterone as well.
Yeah. And if you think about it, your body's extremely smart. It has like an alert system almost that your body's not going to want to get pregnant if it's in a constant state of duress, right? So it triggers that. And this is why things get out of whack, especially when high stress. So in addition to that, low progesterone will also create estrogen dominance. And so even if somebody doesn't have a lot of estrogen, if the ratio of progesterone is so low, then it can make that estrogen dominance more pronounced. So some things that can happen is, you know, obviously people in perimenopause, menopause, this will be very prevalent. Also, just if you have excess body fat, chronic stress, high processed sugary type of diet, things like that, blood sugar imbalance, those will all lead to you experiencing estrogen dominance, which can be, you know, we talked about in the hormone cascade. There's lots of different things that can happen, but you're going to look very watery, like you have fluid retention, and you're going to be irritable, things like that. So let's have you list the low progesterone symptoms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. So things to look for that may indicate that you have lower progesterone are problems sleeping, a lower libido, if you notice changes within your mood, specifically anxiety or irritability, breast tenderness is another indicator, headaches and migraines, if you are experiencing weight gain or you're having trouble losing weight, your menstrual cycle is irregular, sometimes like shorter cycles or even sometimes mid-cycle spotting, so any irregularity within your normal female menstrual cycle.
Yeah, so there's different things that you can do to try to help someone increase progesterone. So things that I can do for my clients, similar to what I did for you, Chris, is that we can increase cholesterol, especially if we see that like we did on a Dutch test, as that was kind of what was lacking. So eating those fats, it's necessary for that pregnenolone, that mama hormone, to basically turn into progesterone. So we have to have that. It's a necessary part of thyroid production. So you heard her talking about how she was eating olive oil. And so that's a really good way of getting a plant-derived fat. Coconut oil is another good one. Olives, nuts, seeds, avocado are all great progesterone enhancing foods. And then obviously we know that animal fat is the primary, that's how cholesterol, we get cholesterol in the body. So any types of higher fat meats, and we tend to try to keep those pretty high for as long as we can. One thing I have noticed with working with you for so long is that we can't keep the fattier meats in closer to the show. We have to switch to the olive oil. So if that gives you a clue as to how far along she is into this prep, we kept in the fatty meats for as long as possible. And I mean, you can tell the audience about how we implement those still, like in your refeeds and things.
Yeah. Anytime that I have a refeed meal, I'll make sure that I choose a fattier meat just to make sure that I get the one food variety, but also to implement for this reason, the progesterone, the cholesterol from the animal source. I definitely notice a difference in what types of foods I eat and how it affects my body. And thankfully, I think the way that we are doing it this for this prep is really positive, because I still, like you said, still have my menstrual cycle.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think that a lot of that has to do with your stress management. So can you give us some examples of exact practices that you're going through to mitigate stress?
Yeah, absolutely. So I know as an introverted individual, and certain things are more taxing than others. So a lot of times, a lot of social situations will make me feel exhausted. And being a coach, you know, like I pour a lot of my heart and soul into like communicating with people and, you know, coaching them and helping them. And that's my heart and my passion. But needing that time to be quiet has also been really helpful. I've noticed that noise is just a big stimulus for me. So noise canceling headphones, I know that sounds so crazy, but that is like the one thing that has been a game changer for this prep. I don't even need to put music on or a podcast on. Sometimes I just put those headphones on to work. And that helps me focus and also helps just like calm me down. Other small things would be, I have an artistic side. So either like a coloring book or a drawing notepad, just spending some time in quiet and drawing helps me as well. We're going for walks outside, like getting some fresh air and some sunlight. Just things that really take me away from the things that make me feel like I'm always busy or always going has really helped, I think, manage my stress. And like I said earlier in the podcast, making sure that I'm getting plenty of sleep has been number one, just in my mentality overall.
And so we'll deep dive into different ways that she's been collecting data this prep, and you've been utilizing some different devices and things like that. So
yeah,
spoiler alert, next week we're going to be kind of analyzing some of those devices, like the differences between, because I think you've used almost all of them except the Oura Ring, like Fitbit, Apple Watch, and the Whoop now. So we're going to do a little review on that and just how you can maximize that data and utilize it for making your prep being the most optimal possible. So you know us, we're not big on, we want to address lifestyle factors first, all things consistent. You've heard us talk about how there's that hierarchy of different items, obviously diet and, you know, your stress management, your sleep, all these things should be addressed first before any supplementation. Remember, supplementation's at the very peak of that pyramid, if you're looking at it like the old school food pyramid. So I do want to address the different items that actually help with your body's progesterone production. So if you've done blood work, which that would be the only way you would know that this is an issue, so I highly suggest that, getting your blood work done. And then from there, you can basically, I'll go over some of the things that Chris is taking currently, and then we can kind of talk about some important components that are specific to the production of progesterone. So she takes Harmony from First Form, the DB Goddess, and Core 21. The Harmony has the Vitex, which it's also known as, you'll see it listed as chaste tree berry, something of that variation, or some people pronounce it chasteberry. But basically, that Vitex raises the progesterone by stimulating that secretion of the luteinizing hormone from the brain. And then this stimulates the ovaries to produce progesterone. So Vitex has been shown to actually reduce prolactin, secretion and then raising the progesterone levels. So that supplement was one thing in addition to the cholesterol implementation post show that we really hammered, and I felt like it gave you, I mean, it really, that along with stress reduction probably got your period back. Do you want to go over some of the components of like the DB goddess that have been helpful?
So the DB goddess, I'm trying, the rhodiola. Rhodiola is part of that, right? The adaptive. Yeah. So rhodiola is an adaptogen, which actually helps to balance out your cortisol. And also indirectly, it'll support progesterone production as well. And then I honestly, Amy, I don't remember what else is in it off the top of my head.
So another key component is green tea, and that is in the DB goddess specifically, and that helps with estrogen metabolism, and it also helps with the estrogen dominance. So the Harmony as well has like calcium D-glucarate, and it has DIM. So most people with, like we talked about before, if you have low progesterone, the odds are likely that you are estrogen dominant, even if in Chris's case where you have low estrogen, it was her ratios that were off. Her progesterone was so low that it made her very estrogen dominant. So a lot of times you need those to work together. And it has been known to, when you lower the estrogen levels that are associated, you have fewer incidences of like breast cancer and things like that. So like a DIM, the green tea, it really, those antioxidants help balance and you basically detox your body of the quote-unquote bad estrogens. Some other items that are in the DB goddess are the B6, and that, again, just helps with the estrogen metabolism. And we've kind of sound like a broken record, so we won't say why the estrogen dominance is there, but clearly if you take the B6, that will also help with the estrogen dominance, along with the vitamin C, which is in actually the Core 21. That also has the rhodiola as well. Do you want to talk about Core 21 at all or have anything to talk
about? Oh my goodness. Yeah, I love that supplement. I think that's my favorite nighttime supplement. It just helps me, my personal experience from it is it just helps me relax. But I also notice bigger changes within my body, because I know that my body is getting into like a good rest and recovery in my sleep routine. So actually utilizing some of these like the Whoopstrap and some of these things that we're going to talk about has given me direct feedback on certain supplements I've taken before my nighttime, before my sleep in the nighttime. And the Core 21 I definitely would say is a must for people who are like me, where they just struggle with anxiety or just unwinding at the end of the night, and they need to get into like a better, deeper sleep. I mean, your body responds to all types of stimulus, and my body's responded really well knowing that I'm getting good rest from the aid of that supplement.
Yeah, and then two other supplements to take at night. I'll talk about zinc, and then I'll let you take the magnesium on that. But zinc, basically, it increases the FSH, which is the follicle stimulating hormone, and that just helps with healthy ovulation, helps trigger the ovaries to produce progesterone. You can get zinc from foods such as oysters, beef, lamb, pork, liver, so those organ meats, the yolks of eggs, oats, there's pecans, Brazil nuts, pumpkin seeds. It's even in things like condiments like mustard, ginger root, chili powder. You can get it from peas, beets, carrots, cabbage. So there's a lot of nutrient dense foods that you want to make sure that you're giving your body a good variety. So we don't want to just like, obviously we're not just suggesting like take supplements and get there. So we want those micronutrient dense foods so that you can also enhance that zinc as well. So on the magnesium, do you have something to? Okay.
Yes, magnesium is another one that I take at nighttime, right before bed. And magnesium is great for so many different things within your body, but also really essential for adrenal health. And hormone production. That's kind of why it's getting this mentioned in this podcast. And it's also really good for recovery. I read articles on it for recovery, and it's a mineral that really helps with relaxing. So definitely one to implement as well. And if you're looking for the sources within food, dark leafy vegetables, some nut varieties like almonds, pecans, cashews, and then like seeds, legumes, and then some carbohydrates like brown rice, dried apricots, and avocado will supply some of that magnesium as well. And I definitely think that we've mentioned a lot of different supplement varieties, but taking them in tandem with each other in a very specific variety, I think that's why it's really important to find a supplement that will have a little bit of the things that you need, because I do believe that they work together. And it will also like help with your nighttime routine so you're not taking so many different supplements. Would you agree that they like the things work together better in tandem?
Oh, 100%. And that's why a lot of these supplements that we're talking about are blends of a variety of different things. Like, for example, the Harmony has like the ashwagandha, helping with adrenals, maca root. And then it also addresses the production of progesterone and then the decrease of the estrogen dominance. So these, it's a combination of everything working together. And like we said before, you know, lifestyle plays a huge role in what can happen to your body. So stress above all things, just mitigating that and making sure that you're using good stress management techniques, I think is really key to keeping cortisol levels at bay and keeping the health of your hormones, along, you know, with, like we've said in various examples, keeping your diet very nutrient dense, and, you're going to do a lot better. But it's always good to know your numbers. So take your blood work, make yourself a lab rat, try these things and then see how it affects, the hormones.
I will say that a lot of these things that we have implemented for me have really helped. Like, I have noticed a lot of physique changes as far as body fat storage, even irritability. A lot of the things that we've implemented, I do notice a big difference. So I agree. I think it's always important to get your lab testing done, know exactly what the issue is, and then you can implement some natural remedies if that's possible, and correct your body or get your body back to homeostasis.
Yeah, and just know that it's – you should be having your menstrual cycle. And if you're not, then it's a good idea to get those things, addressed and take a look at what's going on. A simple thing is just the stress reduction. I've had several females that we've just kind of done a cortisol reset, and they basically get their cycle back. And it was just due to life stressors. So stay in tune with all of that, and we will be coming at you next Tuesday with our assessment of the different watches and rings and things. So be looking out for that. Be sure to subscribe. You can find us on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast and at Glam Girl Bikini. And if you would like to apply for the team, we have some spots left. You will go to glamgirlbikini.com, just click the get started button, and that will send the application our way, and we'll go ahead and just set up a phone call for a consultation to see, if it's the right fit. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.